Checkmate.
This is the Chestnut Checkers Podcast.
Checkmate.
Learn a new mindset to create wealth.
We need to be more independent thinkers, man.
Passive income.
Mathematics is precise.
A successful business.
Chess moves.
And money management strategies.
This is Chestnut Checkers.
Right, so we got a lot of stuff to talk about. We got a lot of things that we're going to discuss tonight. We got some plays coming up. We got some stocks we're going to talk about. We got some questions that you guys have been asking me over the last week that I'm going to answer, right? So in the last Strategy Sundays, every single time we've made money the next Monday, right? So these are pretty powerful meetings. These are pretty powerful podcasts or whatever, you know, or, you know, live sessions, whatever we want to call it. So, you know, if you guys want to ask questions along the way, I'm happy to answer it. No, so let's get started, right? So the first thing we're going to talk about tonight is I just want to talk a little bit about Snowflake, right? Because, you know, let's say 2 months ago. I said, look, Snowflake's a great company. I said it would go to 200%, man. A lot of people said I was crazy. They said I didn't know what I was talking about. They said that I didn't understand the metrics behind Snowflake, that it was going to fall, that it was going to be a bad IPO, that it was going to drop, right? Because you got to remember, a lot of IPOs do that. A lot of IPOs turn out to be bust. A lot of IPOs drop down. But I saw how, you know, that Snowflake is what we call a unicorn IPO. I saw it, right? Because if you go back and look at my profile, I said, look, man, Snowflake's going to 200% at IPO, right? That's what I said. So right now we're at 168. So I'm not quite what I said yet. I'm not quite there. But when September, I said it's going to be a 200% gain on Snowflake, right? We're at 168, right? So we're close. We're not quite where we are, say, so I'm still not exactly right, but we're very, very close. We made a lot of money, right? So I still think Snowflake has a little room to grow. I still think Snowflake is going to be a great company. I still think Snowflake is going to go up a lot more from here. But the thing about it, like we always talk about, is now the risk is higher, right? So, and I always constantly talk about risk management. I always constantly talk about, because throughout your whole life, you have to constantly think about risk management. This goes past stocks. This goes past finance. This is everything. You have to constantly think about risk, right? And that's what a lot of people do not talk about. That's what a lot of people don't understand. A lot of people don't never convey that to their audiences. When you talk about wealth, when you talk about wealth building, when you talk about, you know, flipping houses or whatever, you know, whatever people may have as their method of creating wealth, nobody talks about risk. And that's, you know how important that is? That's one of the most important things. That's what you have to, I constantly tell people in the Chestnut Checkers room, in the mentorship. I say, look, man, you have to constantly think about risk, right? Because we made a lot of money in Riot over the last 2-3 weeks. We made a lot of money in Mirror. We made a lot of money in a lot of these picks I've said, right? We made some people, we tied our round table in the mentorship. We had a round table on what, Thursday? We had a round, and if you're in the mentorship, drop some money bags in the chat, because I want to see you guys. Because a lot of you made a lot of money. We were all, you know, we were all happy. We're all talking about, well, what did I say? I said, look, man, I know you made money. I know you were up 10 times. I know you put in 1,000. Now you're up to 20,000, 30,000. But you have to understand how to manage that risk. You can't keep putting it back in, because you're going to end up losing it. One of these times, one of these trades ain't going to work out right. Right? One of these trades are not going to work out right. So now what do you have to do? We talked about it. You have to start building businesses. You got to start reducing the risk. You got to reduce the risk along the way. Take some of it off the table, put it on a bill. Take some off the table, put it on your child's tuition. Do something with the money that makes you grow. Because we can't continue to risk our money. We risk at the beginning when we're down low, we're down bottom. That's when you risk. When you don't have nothing, that's when you risk. You don't risk once you're up. You can't continue to risk your money. You got to take that money off, take some off the table. We're going to talk a little bit about that later, right? So there's something else out there that I'm looking at, and I'm about to make some plays on it. It's Tesla, right? You know, I've had an up and down relationship with Tesla. I've always thought it was a great company. I've always thought Tesla was going to go do well, right? But I said it was a short-term correction a while back. I said 30% correction, but now it did actually hit the 30% correction, but then it continued back up. But I still think Tesla's overvalued right now. I still think it's overvalued, but sometimes the metrics don't go with what, you know, sometimes we try to find value in these stocks. We try to value them through the metrics, through certain mechanisms, things like that. It doesn't work out like it's supposed to, because the hype is pushing Tesla up, right? They're shorting it. That's a good point. They are shorting Tesla, but it's not even stopping it, right? So you have to understand this is that a lot of analysts have Tesla going between 750, 100, 1,000. We told you how analysts work. We told you how through accumulation phase, these banks will buy up this asset on through markup. That's when the analysts tell you to buy it, right? So I think we're at markup right now when it comes to Tesla. So we're in markup. That means there's going to be a steep up. There's going to be some movement upwards in the stock. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy more Tesla of the stock, right? And like I said, I'm telling you what I'm doing. You guys can do whatever you want. This is what my plans are, right? So my plans are to buy Tesla stock, right? That's what I'm going to do next week. I'm going to buy some 3-, 4-, 5-month options on Monday or Tuesday, whenever I get see an opportunity to get in. And I'm going to do some at a four. I'm going to do 3 options. That's a spread. That's a type of a spread. And we also got a class talking about the types of spreads. This is a type of a spread, right? I'm going to buy some close at the money options, some a little farther out, and then some way out, right? And I'm going to buy those up over the next week. You know, some at probably, what is Tesla? 600, some at about 610, some at 700, some at 800, right? For the next 3 months, right? And that's going to, that what that does, it reduces risk. It also keeps, you know, keeps the upside high and keeps the downside low. So that's what I'm in the CNC, I'll post my trades, right, when I do them. So that's what I'm going to do with Tesla, because I believe that I'm going to buy more stock too. I got a lot of Tesla stock, man. I got thousands, and thousands, you know, because I've always believed in Tesla. I just thought it was going to drop. And I did sell it, and I bought it back a few months ago, right, when, you know, after the drop, right? But I've had it for a few months now, and I am going to take those long-term call options out of short, some, you know, over the next, I don't know what time period yet, but it's going to be over the 3-, 4-, 5-month period, right? So that's what I'm going to do. And it's another thing, right? I want to talk about what's hot now, right? Because there's a lot of stocks out there, but I have to talk about what I know, you know? A lot of people come around and they say, look, man, they say, look, what about this? Man, you know, I got to stick to what I know. I got, you know, 10, 20 stocks that I watch, and I've done extremely well on these. So I got to stick to what we know. I can't be bouncing all around looking at every single stock. I got to stick to what I know and what I've been doing so far, right? So what I'm going to do is I'm looking at Riot, Mara, and another one called Hive, right? I'm also looking at some weed stocks, but I don't know if I'm 100% on weed stocks right now because some of them are manipulated heavily, right? So I'm kind of like, I'm a little bit on the wall right now about that, right? But with the Bitcoin stocks, right, the blockchain stocks, I should say, we got Riot. We made a lot of money on Riot. A lot of you guys made a lot of money out there on Riot, right? You guys have made that big time money on Riot. And that's what we're going to talk about later, is on how you have to reduce that risk, right? When you make that much money, and I've done it too, I made 38,000 out of 4,000. I put 4 in, pulled 43 out, right? You know what I did with that money? I took it out. It's not in the account no more, you know? I'm going to put that in some real estate trust. I'm going to put that in some real estate. You see this? I've been 92% right this year in options, 36% return. Now, somebody may say, why don't he just trade all of that into an option again? Why don't he continue to risk? Because I don't play that game. I reduce my risk along the way. You know, that's what I try to teach you guys, to reduce the risk constantly, right? Because too many of you guys, too many of us in general, we think about the sky. What's the possible? How can I go high? But you got to remember what's down low. And you got to prevent that from happening to you, right? And I got another story I'm going to tell you guys at the end of this session. Going to let you know why. Maybe that's why I'm like that, right? But managing risk is an important part of trading, finances, or anything in your life. That's what insurance is for. Why do we have insurance on everything? Why do we have insurance on our house? Why do we have insurance on our car? Because those are forms of risk management, right? So why don't we got to think like that, right? Because the rich, like we told you, they don't risk nothing. They got insurance on everything. And they don't risk money like the poor do, because they don't really have to, but they don't either, right? So we have to start this. As you move up the chain, you got to start thinking like they think, right? So Riot. So Riot dropped after hours on Friday. It's at 9:11 right now. But what does that mean for us, right? Because Bitcoin's going up. I think, what's Bitcoin at now? Somebody tell me. I think it's at around 19,300, right? And you guys know back in the day, you know, and that's what's crazy, man, is that I predicted this was going to happen with Bitcoin. Every time I turn around now on Instagram, somebody's talking about Bitcoin. You guys have heard it. I know you guys have heard about it. I've looked on 4 lives in the last couple of weeks, and all these people talking about Bitcoin. Now, I'm not saying anything, but where were they at 9-10 months ago? You know, where were they at 9-10 months ago? You know, they wasn't here because they didn't know, right? They did not know, right? But now everybody's talking about it. And people, and I'm not saying anything, but people are steering people the wrong way. And I'm going to tell you guys why. Because you got to remember, if you don't know how this game works, you haven't been in it for 10 years like I have, you're not going to know the nuances in this. You're going to hear names and start telling people to buy this name or do this, do that. You don't understand what it is. Right, we're going to tell you guys about it. That's how I knew that Riot was going up 10 times among all the Bitcoin stocks. How did I know that? I didn't know because I'm not a psychic, right? You know, I'm not a psychic, but I base my decisions on probability. Everything's probability. Everything's probability constantly. You're never 100% right about nothing. You're never 100% wrong about nothing. It's probability, constantly probability, every single time, right? Every single time, you're just thinking, what's the most probable thing to happen, right? So with Riot, I knew that Riot was linked to Bitcoin in a certain way, profit structure. I knew that if Bitcoin rise, Riot would rise more in an exaggerated fashion both ways. And I knew that buying Riot would result in a bigger yield than buying Bitcoin, right? I understood that. I knew the mechanisms behind it. I knew the technology behind it. I know how Bitcoin moves. I knew how Riot would move in relation to that. So I was able to make that prediction. The most probable thing this could happen, right? Now, I said it before. I said 10 times gain. I knew it before it happened. I said back in the day, and you guys know I said it. I said, and I've never said this about a stock in the last 2 years. I said, look, man, this is a 10-time gain stock. This is it, right? And what happened? 10, it actually went more, 10, 15, 20 times. Right, to some people. So with that one, I understood the mechanisms, everything behind it, right? So I understood what was going to happen. I still think it's a little bit of room to play with my Riot. So on Monday, I think it's down. And I think we'll see the same chart we saw on Monday with a steady increase because the same setup happened last week. If you guys remember, Bitcoin dropped Friday. It went to the same number and when it came back to now. It was the same setup as last week. So I think Monday is another perfect opportunity for a momentum play. Right. So the momentum strategy, if you guys don't know, and if you're in the mentorship program, it's a free class in there. So you could take that. If you guys aren't in the mentorship program, you can click the link in my bio and join. But that's a free class in the mentorship program. And you could take that class. And it's one of the most powerful classes that we have in that program. But back to what I was saying is that it may be another play on Riot, but it's a short term momentum play. Right. So we still got some room to play on Riot. So we may see a chart pattern on Riot like we saw Monday. Like I said, I don't know for sure, but that's the most probable thing that can happen, right? Is that we'll see a steady rise throughout the day because Bitcoin is the same price it was last Friday. It's the same setup, but Riot dropped. So we may see it, we may not though. So we may see a drop, maybe it's overpriced. I don't know because there was a weird movement in Riot on Friday. It kind of decoupled from Bitcoin. So I don't know, we got to watch it, right? But on that one, hopefully, if we see a chart pattern where there's a steady increase from 9:30 to like 10:30, and we see upper momentum, that may be a perfect chance for a momentum play. What a momentum play is, you get in and get out quickly. You know, you got to get in and get out quickly on that one, right? And try to make 10, 20% and get out. You cannot risk your money on that one, right? So that's what I'm looking at Monday on Riot, right? Mirror may be the same thing, right? Hive is one that I'm kind of awake because I don't like the low price. So I'm kind of watching it. And it may be something, it don't have no options on Hive either. So I'm watching Hive and it's in the list. And I believe Hive can go up the same as Riot or Mara. But the price is a little low for me. And sometimes some of you guys may be okay with that, but I'm just not because, you know, I've been burned in the past and I understand how penny stocks work. And they're, you know, and that's close to a penny stock. It's like 126, but it's still very close, right? It's under a dollar is a penny stock. So I don't know about that one, but I am watching it and we'll see what happens, right? But it's in the same group and I believe that it's going to go up. I'm not saying it's not, but I believe you, dollar for dollar, it's better to put it in Mara or Riot. So that's what I'm going to do. It's better to put it in the option for Mara or Riot. So that's what I'm going to do. And like I said, sometimes these stocks can go up. Sometimes these stocks can work, but I'm just saying is that you have to do what's the best dollar for dollar investment for you, right? So there's another wild card out there, and I see a lot of people talking about it. I see a lot of people recommending, and I see a lot of people getting their friends on it and stuff like this. And it's a scary, scary thing because they don't understand financial instruments, right? People don't understand that, man. It's okay, man. You know, and like I said, no, most people don't know, and it's nothing. I'm not trying to put anybody down because Everybody, we're all trying to make money. If I'm doing something wrong, somebody, you know, get out there and tell your friend. Maybe I'm saying something wrong. So somebody get out there and tell your audience I'm saying something wrong if it's true, right? Because maybe I'm saying something, I don't know, you know. Maybe I think I'm right and somebody else says, nah, this dude's wrong because it is. I would appreciate that, right? But I've heard several people suggesting Grayscale Bitcoin Trust. Now, how many of you guys have heard of that? How many of you guys have heard of a trust that you can buy in your Robinhood account called Grayscale Bitcoin Trust, right? Who's heard it? I want to see some yes and no's out there if you've heard about it. So I'm sure a lot of people have heard about Grayscale, right? So I'm going to break down what Grayscale is. And in the way, on the way, I'm going to teach you guys some understanding of what this is. And we're going to talk about three things. We're going to talk about what a trust is. We're going to talk about what intrinsic value is. We're going to talk about what premium value is, because I want you guys to understand what you're buying into. Now, you may make the decision to still buy into it. You may make the decision to still buy it, but I want to make sure you understand what it is. Because you're going to hear more about it in a few, because I'm telling you what's going to happen, right? Is that Bitcoin is going to eventually it's taking over right now, right? So all of a sudden you can hear all these people talking about it, right? The easiest thing that a person can understand is Grayscale Bitcoin Trust. So you're going to hear all these people telling you to buy it, because all I got to do is press a button on my Robinhood and buy it, right? And it's cheap, and people are tempted by those low prices, right? It's $20 right now, $22. So people say, oh man, I'm gonna get into it, whatever. I'm telling you, man, and I'm gonna explain it to you. And I'm gonna let you guys understand what it is, right? Because when it does come out, when you guys hear about it, when you guys see it, I want you to know what it is, right? Because I'm not telling you to buy it. I want you to understand what's happening here. Grayscale Bitcoin Trust, I've been getting a lot of questions about it. But for the first thing, it's a trust, right? It's a digital currency investment company that buys Bitcoin, buys certain cryptos. They group it together and they put in a company and share shares, right? So they got a bank, let's say, for example, conceptually, full of Bitcoin. And they say, look, man, we'll sell you a share of this bank. And you know, you can make a little money, right? But let's talk about what it works. Let's talk about how it works. Let's talk about what a trust is. Then I want you guys to make your own decision. Right? Because I don't want you, because some of you guys jumping out buying it, it may not be a good decision, right? It's a trust. It's not an ETF. So back to what I was saying is that that's why it's so important that you guys understand it. And that's what something else I'm going to talk about later, because a lot of you guys have made a lot of money and you're getting overconfident, right? A lot of you guys are babies in this, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's nothing wrong with being a baby, but you got to understand where you are in the path. Right, it's nothing wrong with starting some and being good. It's nothing wrong, but you have to understand is that it takes time to be very, very good at this. Right, you can be good early, and some of you guys are doing well. Some of you guys are doing extremely well. Some of you guys are doing better than a lot of people. Right, you're doing well, but you got to understand is that you're a baby in this. That's why it's so important to use this good time when it's abnormally easy to win at options and stocks and crypto to learn and grow and understand where you are. But back to Grayscale Investment Trust, right? Bitcoin Trust, sorry. So let's talk about three things: trust, intrinsic value, and premium, right? A trust is simply a third party who holds asset on behalf of somebody else. So it's a bank, conceptually, full of Bitcoin. And they say, look, man, you could buy a percentage of this, right? So what is that worth? So what is it worth? It's not a company. It's not going to grow. There's nothing else there. All it is a structure who holds an asset on your behalf and gives you a piece of it for a certain amount. Now, what is that worth? Let's put it on a simple level, right? So most people can understand it. Let's say I got a new a trust called the Armando Bitcoin Trust, right? Now, let's just imagine Armando Bitcoin Trust. Let's start tomorrow. And I got two Bitcoins in there worth $19,000 each, right? I got two. And I say, hey, how much would you pay me for this? I got two Bitcoins, you know, each are worth $19,000. That's the whole trust, Armando's Bitcoin Trust. Now, I'm going to sell you one share, half of the company. So how much would you pay for that? There's two Bitcoin in there. Each one's worth $19,000 each. I own 100%. I'm going to sell you half. How much is it worth? right? How much is this trust I got worth? Somebody tell me. I got 2 Bitcoin, each worth $19,000 in my bank back here. It's called the Armando Bitcoin Trust. I'm going to sell you half, right? How much you going to pay me for that? $19,000. That's right, Terry. That's how much you would pay me. Would you pay me $25,000 for it? Would you pay me $40,000? Would you pay me $100,000 for it? Now, would you pay me $100,000 for it? No, you wouldn't, right? Because you know the value of my trust. It's whatever I got in there divided by how many shares I out, right? That's what it's worth. But Grayscale Bitcoin Trust doesn't work like that, right? It's trading at 10 times what the price of their shares are valued at, right? So for every Bitcoin they got, you're paying 10 times. When you buy a $20 share of that, you're paying 10 times worth what they got in the bank back there, right? So, and that's what's called trading at a premium, right? Because the intrinsic value of my trust is the 2 Bitcoins back there, 19, 19, 38. That's the intrinsic value of the whole thing. The premium value is what people will pay for it over that value, right? Just like a premium product, like Louis Vuitton purse. Louis Vuitton purse has both intrinsic and premium value, right? What that means is that a Louis Vuitton purse, right, has intrinsic value. We strip off all the logos. That's what it's, what is it worth? Well, it's worth $200. It's still a well-made bag. It's still a bag that we can use. It's still highly, it still has good craftsmanship. So I'll pay you $200, but let's put the logos back on. How much is it worth? It's worth $2,000 because the logos are there. Okay, well, I'm willing to pay that. So a lot of people get in line and pay it. So as long as people are willing to pay for that bag because the logos are on there, the price stays high, right? Right? The price stays high. But at the day people stop, it drops immediately down intrinsic value, right? So that's what is going to happen to Grayscale Investment Trust. As soon as the demand for it drops back down to intrinsic value, down to $2, $3, right? That's where it's going to go because right now it's on that premium. A premium price is simply the price people pay more than what their real value is. And a lot of people hear premium and they say, oh man, premium's cool. Premium tickets, premium seats, premium this. Yeah, it's good with a product, but I don't want to pay way more for an investment because why would I do that? An investment is an investment. I want to make money. I want to pay as least as possible. So why would you pay more for it? You know why people are paying more? Because they don't understand how it works. And the crazy thing is, this is happening on a grand scale. And like I said, I could be crazy. I may not know what I'm talking about. You guys can go out and learn on your own. Research it, see what it is. See the total value of what they got or divided by the shares. And you can see right there. You can see right there what is value. So why would I pay 10 times more and I could just buy the Bitcoin outright, right? Because what happens in that situation? When I buy an investment trust or a mutual fund at a premium. So what happens is that I'm already buying it way higher than I could have just bought the outright Bitcoin, right? But now my risk is higher. So the crazy thing with Grayscale is that you're basically tied to the price of Bitcoin. So if Bitcoin goes up, Grayscale goes up, which is good, right? Almost directly. And it's not like Riot. Riot is exaggerated. That investment trust will go up directly. But the downside is that the premium could collapse. If the demand drops in that, the premium goes all the way down to nothing, and now you're down. And you say, hey, that's not going to happen. How could that possibly happen? Well, Grayscale has another trust out there. That's a Bitcoin. They have an Ethereum trust. I want you to go back to June 11th. So Ethereum is a type of cryptocurrency, just like Bitcoin. It's the second biggest one. It's a very, very popular one. So Grayscale has another trust called it's called ETHE, right? So the same thing happened already with this before. Back in June, early June, people were going crazy over the Ethereum trust, right? The premiums rose real high, right? They drove real high sitting in. What happened, right? So the price of Ethereum stayed about the same. So when the premiums collapsed, it went down 60%, but Ethereum didn't move. So it doesn't, like, see what I'm saying is that by buying Grayscale products, you're actually increasing your risk in relation to the Bitcoin and crypto market. That's crazy, man. And that's what I'm saying. The only reason why they're selling it this high is because people don't know. And people are promoting it, and people are talking about it. And you got to remember, Grayscale has commercials out there. And that should be criminal. I'm not dogging Grayscale. I'm not saying anything because I'm actually glad that they did this because it actually helps the, because you know, I'm more deeply into Bitcoin than you guys may realize. I'm into this down to the technology level. Y'all may see the top level, the top of the iceberg is just investment. I'm all the way down to the blockchain and, you know, how cryptocurrency will change the game down to the software level on this, down to the bottom, you know. So I'm deeper into this. I'm in crypto more than just making money. I'm into it down to the ideology level, down to the bottom, you know. So I mean, but Grayscale is doing great things for crypto because they're getting the word out, right? They're going out talking about it. But this is what I tell you guys about the market cycles. And this is why I tell you guys how dirty this game is. And it's legal. So what they did, what Grayscale did is they, during the accumulation phases, it was two, they bought all the Bitcoin they could possibly get their hands on when it was low, when you guys were scared, some of you guys, when you thought it was, you when it was down at 3,000-4,000, you didn't know, people scared, they're shaking in their boots, not wanting to buy it. That's when Grayscale was buying it up. So when they got their coffers full of Bitcoin, they actually, remember I told you people will pay analysts to promote it? Remember I told you after the accumulation phase, the markup phase, they mark it up so they could sell it to you? Grayscale is doing this right in front of your eyes. Now, I'm not blaming them. I'm glad they're doing it because it actually increases knowledge about Bitcoin, right? But I'm just saying, I'm not going to buy into it, but I'm glad they're doing it, right? But this is what I tell you guys about this game. And this goes to stocks, everything. It's like this, man. They buy up all the Bitcoin. Once they get their coffers full, they literally put commercials on TV telling you to buy Bitcoin. And they're the ones that bought it before you. That's a perfect example of the accumulation markup, distribution markdown phases with the market. It's completely right in front of you. They don't even care that you know. Look, we bought Bitcoin. Now we got our investments in, and now we're gonna market it right to, we're gonna market it literally right to you in your face after we bought it cheap. Now, that almost should be criminal, but it's not. That's what I'm telling you guys, that you have to understand we're not in control of this game, man. We're not control. We got to ride waves and be careful and manage risk constantly because of that, right? Like I said, I'm not saying Grayscale won't go up because it probably will. Right? Grayscale will probably go up in value. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you'd be better off putting a dollar in Bitcoin. If I had a dollar to invest, you got less risk and more of an upside with going directly to Bitcoin. Let the people who don't understand get Grayscale, right? So I'm not telling you what to do, but I'm telling you what I'm going to do or what I've done, right? Because it just doesn't make sense to me to put a dollar into Grayscale when you put a dollar in Bitcoin. What's the point of Grayscale at all? It's a trust that has Bitcoin in it. So why don't you just buy the Bitcoin? It doesn't make sense, you know? It doesn't make any sense. But, I mean, think about that. Does it make sense? Why wouldn't I just buy the Bitcoin outright? Why would I buy the trust at all? I mean, it doesn't make sense, man. Like, but it works and people buying it, and they probably made millions and millions of dollars off of this because they sold the shares at a premium, higher than what, you know. That's like me, man. You know how I would make money? Let's say I bought two Bitcoins, right? Put them in the bank, and I sold you guys shares of the Bitcoins, you know. And I said, well, I'm going to sell them I got these two Bitcoins. I'm going to sell them at 10 times more. Right, and you guys buy me to buy the shares of the Bitcoin, I take the difference, and you know, I got richer for doing nothing, right? So I'm not knocking what they do, because like I said, what they're doing is actually helping the case of Bitcoin, right? Right, but you can afford Bitcoin, because somebody said, because you can't afford Bitcoin, you could buy $1 worth of Bitcoin is divisible. I can buy $1 worth, I can buy $2 worth, I can buy $5 worth, I can buy 50 cents worth. The Bitcoin is divisible and fractional. There's no way you can't afford Bitcoin because it's all the way down to the pennies. Everybody can afford it. You know, you may not get a whole one. You're not getting a whole one through the Bitcoin, through Grayscale either. You're not getting involved in you're not going to get a whole Bitcoin through them either. It does. And what happens is easier. You just press a button, you got it. But like I said, I'd rather learn a little bit and make a better investment as opposed to easiness. The easiness, you know, you got more. Actually, by being easier, pressing the button, getting Grayscale, you're increasing your risk. Which I'm not saying it won't be. The risk may not happen. You know, I'm just saying that you are increasing the risk, right? So why not just buy the Bitcoin directly, right? So last thing I want to talk about, I'm going to talk a little bit about risk management, right? Because I want to make sure you guys understand it. So I'm walking, I'm in an outlet law. I hope the dude's watching, man, because I want him to understand how this impacted me today, right? So I'm walking in the mall in the Sarasota. I'm at Under Armour. I'm buying some clothes. And now I got my mask on. Everybody's got masks on. I don't know where you are in the country, but in Florida, we all wear masks still. So I got my mask on. So I'm, you know, walking around. Dude comes up to me, you know, I turn around, dude's right there. And he's like, "Hey man, are you Tall Guy Tycoon?" And I said, "Yeah, man, that's who I am." You know, first time it's ever happened to me, man. So, so the dude was like, "Hey man, man, I want to thank you, man, because I hope he's watching, man, because I want him to know why I thought, man, because I was a little bit of standoffish on him at first. I want him to know why. If you're there, man, just say hi or it's me or whatever. He came up to me. He was like, "Man, you see all these bags I got?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Man, you did this for me, man. I didn't know nothing about stocks. I didn't know nothing, man. I'm able to give my family a good Christmas this year because of you." I don't know what his financial situation was. I don't know if it was, he meant a better one, because he seemed like a smart, well-to-do dude. So that's all I know, right? So he says, "Look, man," he said, "you made this for me, man. You did this for me, man. I just wanted to come up and shake your hand." I said, "All right, man. First time it ever happened. I'm a little standoffish." But what he couldn't see is that I was kind of tearing up. That's why I didn't want him to see it. Because I was like, man, you know, I was kind of tearing up, man. I'm a big dude. And back when I was back when I was in a different stage in my life, I had to be tougher back then, right? So I was tough back then. But now, you know, I let my emotions come out. As you get older, for young dudes, your emotions start coming out more. So I'm sitting there tearing up, and I didn't want him to see it. So and the reason why, and he walks away, man, I give him five, and he walks away, right? And I hope he hears this. I hope he understands. Or he listens to the video later. So the reason why I tore up, man, is because it made me, right then I remember the story, man, back in 2013. And you guys know, for you new people, I tell this story all the time. I had a horrible, I had a business I started, you know, back in 2009. It did well for 2 years. It drained me of all my finances, my energy, everything within 3 years after that, right? So I was, in 2013, it reminded me of a Christmas. I was down to nothing. I had no money. I was eating ramen noodles. I gotta be careful, man. I'm gonna tear up right in front of y'all, but I'm eating ramen noodles every day. It was Christmas time. I'm eating ramen noodles. I'm putting a little bit I got a bag of vegetables, you know, 99-cent vegetables, and I would put a little bit of vegetables in there and boil them in the microwave, so I'd have, you know, kind of like a balanced meal, eating rice and beans. I'm looking on my bills, trying to cut down everything I could cut down, trying to save this business, right? Business was costing me more than I'm making. So it's a negative business. Every month, it's just losing money every month, right? So I'm trying to find money other ways to keep everything afloat. Now, I'm not behind in my bills yet, but I don't have no extra money, right? Christmas coming along. I got my son, he's like one or two at the time. And I couldn't afford no Christmas for him, right? Couldn't afford nothing, right? And you know, as a father, as a new father, especially, man, that was killing me inside. It was killing me, man. It was horrible. I couldn't afford to buy him nothing. Didn't have no money. So I call my brother up, and I will be forever. And I tell my brother this all the time. I will be forever indebted to him for what he did that Christmas, man. Is that Christmas, I'm starting to tear up a little bit. So so that Christmas, I call my brother, man. And I said, "Look, man, if you can loan me $500, man, you loan me $500, I promise you I'll pay you back over the next 6 months, man." The dude was like, "You keep this 500, man. You keep it and don't have to pay me back." And that little bit of money, it changed my life, because I was able to give my son a good Christmas, right? That little bit of money, and for what I'm saying, for the rest of my, for the rest of my life, if my brother comes to me for anything, and I hope he's listening, I'll make sure he gets it because of that, right? Because he enabled me to get that, right? He said, "You keep that money, man, and buy presents for your kid," right? He never mentioned it again. Nobody ever knew he gave me that money. He gave it to me, never talked about it again, right? So that's the kind of thing that's why when a dude came to me and said that, it made me almost cry, right? And that's the reason why maybe I manage risk so tightly, because I'm not going back to that. I tell you that right now. I ain't going back to that, man. No, that's one of my, you know, if I got to choose of making $10 million more, $50 million, or go back to that, and it's a 50-50 shot, I'm not doing it. That's why I manage risk so tightly, man. because I'm not going back to that, you know, ever again in my life, right? And that's why I tell you guys, that's why I always talk about constantly manage risk. And I'm gonna tell you guys a story, another story, right before we leave right here about managing risk. And I'm gonna tell you guys some ways you can manage, because a lot of people, like I said, made a lot of money on those calls that we talked about over the last 2 weeks in the Chestnut Checkers room, in the mentorship. We made a lot of money, 10, 15, 20 times our money, right? And I'm constantly telling you guys to manage that risk on that money, because you don't want to end up back to zero. If the lack of managing risk will end you, take you right back to where you started. You don't want to end up like that, right? But we're going to talk about some techniques, but I want to tell you guys a story. I want to tell you guys another story, right? About it's a Greek story about Icarus. Some of you guys have probably heard the story, right? Icarus was it's a Greek story. So there's I'm going to paraphrase a lot. I'm going to add some more of my elements into it, but the story is about the same as it was back in the Greeks, right? So there was a story about Icarus, right? So it's a great king, an evil king. He throws a boy and his father in a prison on an island, right? So the father is a great craftsman. He can make, he can take anything and make great things out of it, magical things out of everyday objects, right? So they're on they're on the island. They're in a dungeon. They can't get out. So even if they say, well, you know, dad and the father are talking. He's like, the dad is the craftsman. The son is just the son, right? He says, look, father, can you get us out of this, man? This king got us on this island locked in. He said, man, even if we get out, we can find a way to get out of the dungeon, but we're stuck on the island. How are we going to get off this island? The father said, oh, you know what I can do? I've done this before and I actually know how to use them. I can create some wings for you. We got some wax over here in the dungeon. We got some old feathers from some birds, and we got some wood over in the corner. I can make wings out of that, man. All right, man, dad, do it, man. Make the wings for us. All right, so the dad gets to work on these wings, right? He makes these wings. He creates the wings out of wax, feathers, and wood. So he makes two sets, one for him, one for his son. He gives it to his son. He said, look, son, I know you're young and I know you're gonna, these wings may change your life, man. These wings may change your life. But you gotta be careful, man, because people get overconfident with these wings. I made some for some other dudes. They put these wings on to get overconfident. So I want to, man, you gotta do exactly what I say. You gotta follow me back to the home and you gotta listen to exactly what I say, man. He said, all right, what do I have to do, father? He says, all right, man, when we get out of here, we probably got to fight somebody. We're gonna do some, you know, maybe have to do some crazy stuff. But once we get out, we're gonna fall over the ocean. You cannot fly too low because the wood and the feathers will soak up and make the wings too heavy. If you fly too high, the wax gonna melt and you're gonna die. And he says, all right, man, father, I'm gonna do exactly what you said. All right, he says, all right, man, let's get the wings on. Put the wings on. They fly out. The guards outside, they're fighting the guards. Dudes flying around doing maneuvers and all this stuff, right? And then the son starts saying, oh man, these wings make me a god. I can do whatever I want. He starts flying around. His father said, you have to be calm and you cannot, you have to fly in the middle. You can't fly too low, can't fly too high. His son says, starts flying, getting more and more confident as he goes along. And the dude said, starts flying high. His father says, stop, son, you're going too high. He flies all the way so high that the son melts the wax, falls down and dies, right? Because he was overconfident, right? He didn't listen to the father. He got out a little bit. He got a little bit of taste of what the wings could do for him. And he caused him to be overconfident, caused him to have hubris. He ended up dying, right? A lot of people say, that's a crazy story. I never do that, but you're doing it with stocks right now. You got to be careful. It's fine. You got to understand where you are, right? Is that this information does make you powerful. This information is life-changing. This information will make you more powerful than you've ever been in your life when it comes to finances. But you have to understand where you are in this game. You got to understand it. You know, you still got a little learning to go. You still got to understand. You still got to practice risk management. You can't fly too high. You can't fly too low. Right? You can't fly too high. You can't fly too low. You got to continue going on the path you've been going on. Right? Because that's where greatness is. That's where you make your money at. That's where, right in that middle range of tight risk management and making profit is where you want to be. You don't want to go too high. You don't want to go too low. Right there in the middle is where that growth, that extreme growth comes from. Right? But like we talked about, we made a lot of money in stocks. We made a lot of money in Riot, especially. We made a lot of money in all the picks I picked over the last year. Some people who are with me in the Chestnut Checkers Room, some people in the mentorship, some people who just follow me on Instagram. We're up, you know, 1,000% this year, right? 10 times your money, we're up, right? But maybe more, maybe 20 times, you know, some people, a total, right? So we're up a lot. So I know one dude put 300 in, he's up to 24,000, started with 300. But like we said, is that we have to start managing that, taking that risk back. You can't keep risking all the money. You're going to end up losing it. We got one member that's starting a business, right? We got another member that invested in two trucks for his existing business. We got another member who did a t-shirt business. We got another member who paid off loan. And that's another thing you got to understand is that if you got up that much and you got debt out there, you need to clear that debt off. If you got credit card debt, it's 22% interest in some cases. 22% interest. You got to, that right, just paying that debt off is a huge investment, right? If you got $5,000 worth of credit card debt out there, and you take that money you made from stocks, you pay off that debt, you just made another $1,000 over the next year. And a lot of people don't understand that. They don't understand that. They say, what are you talking about? Well, that $5,000 at a 20% interest rate over a year is another $1,000. So by paying it off today, instead of, you just took that five and you made six instantly, bam, gone. You're instantly making money, right? You're making money right now because it's not going to come out of your paycheck for the next year. Instantly, you're making money. That's a way that you can compound what you make out of this. You take that, let's say you got a stock, you put $1,000 in some option, make $5,000, make $10,000, you take half of that, you put it into a debt, now you're up to $11,000. Really? You're up to $11,000. You got to understand this Chestnut Checkers mentality is sometimes it may not show in your bank account, but on the overall balance sheet, you're way up. That's how you have to think. The overall balance sheet is where it matters, right? If you got $20,000 in your account and you have $50,000 in debt, you got to get back to zero, right? How are you going to do that? Well, make a plan to get rid of that debt. Because what you got in the bank versus your debt, you're still in a negative position. I know sometimes you want to keep that money in there. I know sometimes you like to see those numbers in there, but you got to start coming up with a plan. You got to start figuring out how I'm going to get this debt off me. How am I going to reduce the risk on these stocks and options I'm doing? Because the market, I'm telling you, is going to crash here soon. It may be 3 months, maybe a year, maybe 2 years. I don't know. But one day we're going to wake up, it's going to be crashing. Right? One day we're going to wake up, it's going to be crashing. We got to make sure we're protected against that possibility, right? We got to make sure we're protected against it because we don't know if it's going to come. We don't know when it's going to come, but we have to make sure we're protected against if it comes, right?